All right. We're live right now.
Yes, sir.
And I would like your response and reactions to the message. God's ransom, the price, should assure you of His love. If He didn't love you, you didn't have to pay that price. He could just as equally have wiped mankind out. That was the penalty. Just blow you all away and fry you with Satan and start over again. So don't get any ideas that the ransom was forced upon God or Christ. It was forced upon God or Christ. If He maintained His integrity while expressing His love and redeeming us, it's easy to lose in the outpouring of His wrath on sin as the vindication, verification, validation, whatever word you want, of His righteous judgment. He had two choices. He could capriciously forgive us and make His word unstable on the positive side, or He could wipe us out and firm up His word, start over with a new creation. He ransomed us because He loves us. And the price of giving us the chance we have to trust Him has been paid. And we know He keeps His word to His own hurt. So how can you not trust Him and be trustworthy like His Son was? Now get on the telephone. Talk to me. You're doing pretty good. Come on, get on the telephone. And the reservations, I ask you at the close of the service, be faithful to your commitments today. Make your reservation for next Sunday. Come on. Seeing more and more people pick up on the fact you can get the KU band dish. It's our own private digital satellite network. But you have to buy the dish and tune it. It's separate from the large dish KU band. This is the small 1 meter dish. It picks up digital. I'm getting messages like this. For example, this ought to interest you, some of you. Somebody said the song they listened to, a different program, the song Only Trust Him, was written by their great-great-grandfather. And the news in Tucson, Arizona, were going to be on Channel 72, Access Tucson, every Saturday at 3 p.m. I didn't know that. Vallejo, I'm calling about a special offer for purchasing the KU band dish in the San Francisco Northeast Bay Area. I purchased a dish from a company with the name of Golden Gate Satellite TV. I received a letter from them thanking us for our business. In the letter, they stated that anybody who mentioned Dr. Gene Scott will receive a 10% discount. I paid $499 installed. Discount price will be $449 installed. They mail me a copy of the letter. The phone number for the company is 1-888-USE-DISH, D-I-S-H. And I can't read the word, but there's a manager or some name that you contact, Sean Shake. So there you have it. Under $500, you can get it up in the Bay Area. And someone else It is the discount. The manager's name is Sean Shake. And here from Pahrump, Nevada, we got our new digital dish. The company was Sky Vision in Minnesota. It's on the internet at skyvision.com. It cost $345, including shipping, from Pahrump, Nevada. So anybody doesn't get the new dish, it's climbing up. That's dish KU band number 41. We ought to have 3,000 by now. It's our own private network. You know, it puts you in the in group. Come on, get on telephone. Now, I don't mind accommodating to the activities downtown when I get notice. I need to warn you, next Sunday, you are coming to the cathedral, that there's the Heart of the City Run and Walk. They close the streets from 7 a.m. to 12 p.m. The only thing you have to watch is it looks like that there is a section between 5th and 7th on Hill Street, because a lot of people use Hill Street to come to the cathedral. If they're coming out from the Pasadena, Glendale, 110 area, they'll exit sometimes through Chinatown and follow Hill Street all the way down, or spin over to Grand Street all the way down. Avoid that route. Stay on the freeway till you come to the 9th Street exit, and exit on the 9th Street exit and come right on down to the cathedral. So it looks like that this closure will only affect, in terms of the routes to the cathedral, will only affect Grand and Hill Street. So stay off of Grand and stay off of Hill Street. It won't affect people that are connecting off of the 10, the 60 on Los Angeles Street. It won't affect those who get off on Olympic and 9th, preferably 9th. And that's pretty much the main freeway connections. If you're coming up the 5 from the south, you ought to divert to the 10, neither get off on Los Angeles Street or swing around on the 110 and get off on 9th. Stay away from Hill, stay away from Grand. And that'll be repeated through the week. We can accommodate when we know and are notified. The special events are going on downtown. That's just the price of being downtown, whether you're doing business or having church. And we aim to keep the presence downtown, but we want to know when things are going on that affect our access. And I've just told you, stay off of Grand, stay off of Hill. Fair enough?
Yes, sir.
And why aren't you on the telephone making your reservations? Austin, Texas. You're watching on a big dish, GE3, off satellite, GE3. We're there 24 hours a day and have been for years. We're two of the group that is a target support. We want to thank Pastor for teaching on the ransom. It was paid to get us out of this hellhole. We're trusting the Lord to see us through to the end. You keep the faith, He will. We've ordered our KU band dish. We'll have it tomorrow, and as soon as it's hooked up, we'll be calling in for our KU band number. And here's Toms River, New Jersey. I just want to thank Doc for the communion message, letting him know I'm watching on my new KU band dish, and the reception and picture are great. Thank you for providing us with this new satellite, KU band number 40. And then they must not have caught all the messages today on San Francisco. They've had since 6:30 to do it, but they're coming in now. Concord, first time. Thank you, Dr. Scott, for the teaching. It's so refreshing. I'll watch again. I never heard of him before Sunday's teaching. I love this teaching. Thank you. Watch this morning on Channel 4. Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, listening on shortwave. I've listened to the service twice today, and I want to hear it again. 13845 is coming in great. Wolford, Texas, I was looking for some college football on my dish and came across this channel and find it very interesting. And then Oakland watching this morning on Channel 4. I'm enjoying it very much. Fremont, California watching this morning on Channel 4. I listened on Channel 4 today from 5:30 to 6:30 and really enjoyed it. Nashville. I watched Dr. Scott this morning and I'm calling to tell him how much I enjoyed it. These are messages that were not picked up in the totaling this morning. How long has he been in Nashville? Long enough. I'm going to be there longer. Mountain View. I want to praise God for Dr. Scott. I just got done. No, it just keeps getting better all the time. I just can't believe the power of the message today. No other teacher or preacher in the world can be led to understand what Dr. Scott has been led to understand. I can't believe God loves me enough to let me hear all this instead of being stuck with some guilt-peddling preacher. Praise God. That's what he said. Now, I want to talk to you. No more calls for a few minutes. At sundown today, those that are listening live, it's Sunday, and at sundown today, when the day starts on the Jewish calendar, until sundown tomorrow, is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But isn't it interesting that essentially since the destruction of the temple 2,000 years ago, since the coming of Christ, which was the prelude to that destruction, Yom Kippur has taken on a total different meaning. What I was preaching today about Christianity, moving out the ransom, moving out the offensive shedding of blood. Jews are rejoicing all over the world on the Day of Atonement, rejoicing in the forgiveness of their sins. No comprehension of the ransom. They don't even offer the substitute anymore. And no more slaughtering of the animal. Animal rights people would protest. It's becoming Christianity embarrassing to some of the more modern churches to. They've taken the word blood out of their hymn books. They couldn't sing that grand old hymn of Cowper. There is a fountain filled with blood. It wasn't the shedding of blood per se. God was not indulging himself in a love affair with bloodletting. Leviticus 17:11. The basis of the Day of Atonement in terms of what it was to commemorate, the life of the soul. Remember, I said the death's a great deal larger than the natural death. The life of the soul resides in the blood. Modern science has a hard time figuring out when life and death, the transition boundary occurs. People are kept apart, kept alive as vegetables. Part of their body alive and part not alive. Take all the blood out and pour it on the ground, you're dead. That's what the focus on the blood is about. It's not some sadistic orgy in a bloodbath. It's the recognition for sin, and sinners we all are, comes death. And God could, as I said this morning, capriciously forgive us. And that's basically what's being celebrated on the Day of Atonement. Oh, I'm special. God loves me. He takes me as I am, wraps His loving arms around me, and forgives all my sins. On what basis? Well, He just loves me. Sure He does. Sure He does. But for sin comes death. And sinners we are. There might be a parent on this earth somewhere that I've often used the analogy. What would it be like, a mother or a father with a son or a daughter that, well, let's talk about the son, a serial rapist, a serial killer. You don't want to believe it. You spawned that being. He lies to you. And in the worst of us, there's an occasional good expression. So as a parent, you fasten on that. And I've often speculated what it would be like to finally, as a parent, sit outside the death chamber and know your son's got it coming. He really is. This evil person who did all of this, without excuse. I believe rarely there might be a parent that would say, I'll die in his place. I doubt it if he's really come to the conclusion that he birthed the monster and dying in his place turns him loose again to keep doing it. But if that parent had the ability to somehow graft onto from himself to that son take a kidney out before he died and replace the kidney. Even take the heart out and replace the heart with his own heart. It ain't going to change that murdering son if the parent could give something of himself with the power to inevitably change that son. I could think of rarer, but some parent that might do it. Those of us who understand these verses reach for analogies to try to communicate their meaning. God knows what we are. He loves what we can be with His help. And we can't be that if we don't trust Him. You think of all the preaching you've heard in churches down through the years, the so-called hide-busting preachers that hellfire and brimstone. I don't ever remember any of them elevating put-away lying and preaching against hypocrisy with the same venom they turn loose on ordinary fleshly sins. Doesn't mean that the fleshly sins are not important or they're bad. But Paul starts, put away lying. What do you think this ransom's about? God's truthfulness. He's going to keep His word. Whatever the price. Otherwise, you're a hypocrite. The changeable is a chameleon. And that's why Claire Grace used to say so eloquently, you're not going to build a church on cheap grace, and you're not going to take cheap products of that grace. You are going to learn the faith, or the ransom that paid for Hitler and Saddam Hussein and Mohammed. Will not be applied, and the new life released, unless you're fading. And you can't be a fader and not sacrifice. And you can't be a fader and not be trusted. Faith is one side and faithfulness is the other side of the coin. Not only did Jesus practice the faith all the way to Calvary in what his Father promised, the integrity of God was banking on Christ's faithfulness to keep his commitment, for this cause I came. I stay angry most of my life. As a pastor who cares at people who cheapen their commitments, voices of faith that trivialize the equipment or the commitment, saints that have a chance to be in the cathedral and know what it means, and won't dedicate those 2 or 3 hours a week. Some of you that have settled back, you know, it's very interesting to me, the older you've got, the more the needs of some of you. You're having the pains and the sicknesses and the things that go with age. But you stop stretching your faith muscles. If you've got those old age ailments, you better start faithing more than you ever did. You're closer to the crossover line. I'm getting desperate with my congregation that's been overfed and thinks they know all of these things. No, you don't. If you did, the cathedral would be full all the time. The Secret 16 would already have been pledged, and a lot of you would be having paid it and pledging it a second time. The reservations would be in by midnight Sunday, no matter where you are. The price proves his integrity. The price measures his love. But this faith walk is last chance. The only way home. Everybody was redeemed. He bought you from one slavery and you're his slave, but he only wants faithing, trusting slaves. He doesn't want you. Would you, if you paid that price, and someone who you paid that price for still doesn't trust you, commit their life to your promises? You'd fling them out on a dung heap. These passages, I said when I started Romans will sort this congregation out. And it's doing it. You walk out of the service as though you've just been to another service, without a fresh realization of how trustworthy and faithful God is to His Word, and how loving He is to have paid this price to get the one thing He can't create. He can't create this. Okay, what's your theology? God cannot create love and trust. Love and trust is freely given. He couldn't even force His Son to be a ransom because I've already covered the word Goel, kinsman redeemer. He bound Himself by His word. Our lost estate can only be ransomed back by one near of kin. That's why Christmas. He kinned Himself to us. Our word kind is a contraction of that. He was kind enough to become our kinsman, kin Himself to us. And He had to subject Himself to the law and fulfill it, because that was the price of redemption, a perfect life, which we don't have and thus can't give. And He had to willingly give it. And He had to actually do it. And in Him is the ransom. And He's only given it to those who trust Him. I came here 28, almost 29 years ago, will be 29 years, first week of November, because I couldn't pass by a church with the name Faith on its masthead and see it die without trying to arouse it to faith again. Some of you now need the same arousement. You need to get worried that the till of the Spirit is worn off, because God has not been putting the dose back in you, because you haven't been exercising faith. And I suggest you get busy with faith and get on the line. You know what I'm talking about. All of my members know exactly what I'm talking about. Get on the phone. Keep calling, and you keep answering. But I want you to look at the stack of messages just from 1 hour. 1 hour of solid teaching with no music in between, to just at the start and the finish to give them a break. Calls poured in this morning at 7 to 8 a.m. our time, 9 to 10 a.m. Dallas time. Calls poured in. Here, for example, Fort Worth. Keep calling and you keep answering. I live in Fort Worth and would like to get a copy of today's message. I really enjoy this program. I'd like you to ask yourself, you that are listening, that are old-timers, do you remember when you first tuned into the teaching? You know, it's hard for you to realize how many thousands of people out there God's put the antennas in, but there's no broadcast going to them. This is what you're a part of when you sit there and provide the inspiration on Sunday morning at the cathedral. I live in Fort Worth. I'm really enjoying this program. And Dr. Scott and his wife, I sang with you today. It's just wonderful. My son and his wife listen religiously every week. First-time caller, Garland, Texas. I'm an older African-American woman, and I think you're a bomb. Or you are the bomb. You make more sense than my pastor. I'm getting so I don't want to go to church, just listen to you. Karen's, Texas. I'm amazed at the teaching. First-time watcher, first-time caller. I'm enjoying this teaching so much, I'll be watching every Sunday morning. Thank you for the program. Please send me a copy of The Pulpit. Forney, Texas. First time caller and viewer. I wish I'd caught the whole program. Can I get a tape of that lady singing? And I'd like a tape of Well, I'd like a copy of the tape and book list. I'll watch again next week. North Richland Hills, Texas. I just turned on my TV and caught this last part. I like and appreciate his teaching. And he's talking about the translation. Please send me the pulpit. Dallas. Tell Dr. Scott we've watched and known him since 1964. And have watched him whenever we can get the teaching. Dallas. How can I find out when Dr. Scott is on here in Dallas? And they told him, I'll be watching. Dallas, Texas. First time I ever watched. And I like what he was saying. Dallas, Texas. I'd like a copy of the message you just played here in Dallas. Irving, first-time watcher and caller. I'm really enjoying the program. I'd like to order two copies of the pulpit. I'm really enjoying the message. Dallas. Dallas, Fort Worth, this is the first time I've seen you. I'm usually in church, but I'm homesick with the flu, and I thoroughly enjoy you. Dallas, Texas, first-time caller. Does he have any books on his teaching? I sure do like how he goes to Hebrew and Greek and breaks things down. I'm tired of those other preachers that just try to make you feel good. I'm going to listen every week. Dallas, Texas, I'm calling you from a hospital. I was in a car accident and broke my hip. I've watched your program for the past few weeks. I enjoy the teaching. You really need to listen to keep up. I'm calling to request a pulpit. Tell him this is awesome, very educational, from Plano, Texas. I'm going to continue to pray for you, that you'll pray that I'll embrace this message with even more understanding so I'll be able to share it with others, better understand God's Word. Allen, Texas, this is the first time I've seen the program. I really enjoyed it. Dallas, Texas, I'm watching Dr. Scott right now on television. Tell him I really like the way he teaches. Dallas, Texas, this is a wonderful program. Can you tell me where I can go to attend his class? You have a website? You got all the information. Dallas, he's so wonderful, we should have more like him. Mesquite, Texas, I enjoy this program very much, and on it goes. Same with Nashville, Washington, D.C., San Francisco. Come on, folks. Be a part of it. Make your reservation for the cathedral next Sunday. Get on the telephone. You know, I hate to be so disturbed on live TV, but I don't know when I will get across to people, all of you, but particularly people that work, that have access and ways to get to me before I sit down live on a television program. This information about the street closings next Sunday comes typed by one of my people who's had it and could have gotten it to me before I got here. I may make it look easy, but sitting here with a live camera on you, dealing, reading messages, doing all I'm doing, the only thing that's red on here, north on Hope to 6, I don't know north from south most of the time, but now I'm finding out, which before I sit down live, I could have been told, it's been, before I came here live, was at least 2.5 hours with people coming and going to where I was. Sorry, folks, you can't come on ninth. I'm now updated from 17th Street to 5th Street. You can't cross Grand if you're coming from the west, which would be the 110, and you can't cross Hill. You can't cross Hope. And you just can't, you can't come from the west off of the 110. You've got to follow the 110 around, or the 10, or get off on the extreme east part of Los Angeles, you that are in the know, and come through the streets on the eastern side. You need to get on the 10, either off of the 110 or off of the 5 or off of the 710 or any one of them. You need to come on the 10 and come up Los Angeles Street. Now, the problem, I seem to recall, of Los Angeles Street is that when you're going south on the 10, there's no exit at Los Angeles Street. But if you go sometime before the week is out, we'll run a crawl that will tell them if they're... And can somebody tell me now? This is why I don't like to find these things out. When my staff knew about it long before I sat down here live. And then because they know I'm coming here, they wait until I'm sitting in this chair and send it, give it to Melissa, who has no choice but to bring it to me. Because this is the time I have to make the announcement. And I'll be making it tonight on 56. Is there anybody in here that can tell me for sure whether you can get off on, whether there's an exit on Los Angeles when you're going east on the 10? Maple Street. So when you're going east, you get off on Maple. Now, I don't know whether that is west of Grand and Hope. I'd rather go a block past.
No, it's east of Grand and Hope.
It's east of Grand and Hope. So you get off on Maple when you're going east on the 10. When you're coming west on the 10, you get off on Los Angeles Street. Then head north on either one of those streets, and you'll come to Olympic, and you'll come to 9th, and because you're east of Grant and Hill, you'll be able to make it to the cathedral. So the simple message is, use the 10, whether you're going south or north on the 5, you can exit on the 10, whether you're going south on the 110. I don't know whether east or south or what on the 5. I mean, when I first came here, I'm going due north. And they tell me it's west 101 or something, or 110 or something. If you're heading toward Orange County from somewhere up near Burbank on the 5 or the 101, you're going to cross the 10. You get off on the 10 and head west until you come to Los Angeles Street. If you're on the 110, or you're coming from the 10, Santa Monica, the beach cities west, heading east, stay on the 10. If you're coming from the harbor area on the 110, get off and head east on the 10. And if you're heading east on the 10, you get off at Maple. So going east, you get off on Maple. Going west, you get off on Los Angeles Street. You'll have no interference getting to the cathedral. Is that clear? And then get back on the phone and tell me how bright you are. Now, if you are not aware, no more calls. If you're not aware that I have done something never done in the history of institutions, either I've been watching or you've been living on another planet, or you took a dose of Rip Van Winkle. How many times I've told the story of the Emperor of China firing all the bureaucrats in the Forbidden City, and then he discovered he didn't have anybody that could pay the bills, so he had to hire them back. I've recommended everybody read Winthrop's House. The Agony of the Pope, and it's Malachi Martin is not disguised very, and I'm not sure he even wanted to. Is not disguised very effectively who the Polish Pope is in that book or who the Cardinal of Century City is. And I fired all the bureaucrats with the help of my wife, and we started over. Now, I will not tolerate... I'm not that emotionally tied to the ones that are new. The von Bowman syndrome that I talked about. These new people were not there when my father died and took care of that problem for me when I was out of town. They were not there tending my mother in her last years of her sickness. They were not there when just a few months after my father died, I get a call at 4 or 5 in the morning that their home and all the 70 years of their marriage and I would have to deal with my mother on this, was burned to the ground, arson, up at Lake Almanor, where they had put their life accumulation after 30 years pastoring in Oroville. They weren't there when I went through some of the most painful personal battles of my life. Those were the emotional ties that made it difficult. People that I had spent close association with, in some cases for more than 20 years, more time than most of you parents will spend with an earthly son or daughter. And I love hard. But they'd lost their vision. They'd gotten comfortable. I won't tolerate the new people turning out that way. I opened this festival with a very expensive microphone that's on me right now, treated like a piece of toilet paper. I grieved at the end of the message and a director who's taken pictures of the flag and long distance views and a camera from the balcony that could not see, as well as the person in the last seat in the auditorium today, totally tuned out. As the devil tried to interrupt, there are people listening that unless we edit it out won't even know why I said, "Why are you coming toward me?" As someone got up about five rows back and started toward me, right when I was coming to the critical part. I gave a cue, as I always do. I said, the rest of the message was important, but I'm coming to the part that's the most important part of this message. And the director is so non-spiritual, as the message was breaking my own heart, as though he was ashamed to see his pastor cry. I'm not one of those that can cry on cue. You can count on very few fingers the times I've been broken up in a message. Is off wool gathering and punching buttons. I remember several months back when I went for the first time in the 20-some years I've been here into the ladies' restroom, discovered they didn't have seat covers, paper seat covers for the toilets. Remember that? And I had such a fit. I scared all the staff so bad that when I went up to my own apartment up in San Francisco, the boy up there had put seat covers on my own toilets. I'm trying to defend the dignity. I demand a commitment from people too stupid to make it. But I just went to the ladies' room again. Didn't have to use all of these things. But I notice they bought the cheapest possible seat covers. You can't pull them out of the rack without tearing them up. I mean, you know, I get mad when I go in a hotel or somewhere, and if you try to separate this thing so you can drop the little thing down and sit on the toilet and have something that it can go through, it tears the whole thing up. I mean, that's the cheapest little wax paper piece of crap I've ever seen. They cost me a whole service and try to save money on toilet paper. I hate these single, I hate toilet paper that is this, it's like it's made out of, I was going to say sand, we think alike, sandpaper. And just one tissue. I mean, you know, you can't get a double roll. I mean, I see them destroy a multi-$1,000 microphone with the way they handle it and try to save me some pennies on toilet paper. This is not my style. I mean, I don't want to go near those delicate parts of you, but at least I will provide something that's comfortable. I mean, let Schwarzenegger use his fingers. I'm going to give you some soft paper. This is what I'm talking about, folks. We talked about Viagra in the service this morning. The man was displaying what he did not produce. That's what righteousness is supposed to be. That's the point. People will see displayed in us what the implant of God's nature does. Our job is to faith. But this is cheap. Look around this studio what my wife has accomplished when 27 years of old guard people didn't even care enough to ask if they could repaint it. This is not my style. That's probably the only preacher in the world. By television time, $8,000 a day, and God knows what today costs, 4 hours. To talk about toilet paper and toilet seat covers. I'm talking about something a lot more than this. I'm talking about an attitude about God's work and God's activity. We got the cathedral because the message I'm preaching on Romans deserves a platform that says we're providing the best we can provide for this word to be projected from. And I have people working here that think this is the quality. What you're saying is you have the same attitude about the quality God wants to populate heaven with. Just getting in with the skin of your teeth or the cheapest tissue is good enough. I guarantee you it's the first time I ever preached on toilet paper. I'm dealing with an attitude, folks. An attitude of the congregation that walks through that cathedral every Sunday and has become so accustomed to walking by those treasures for which people were burned at the stake. To produce or have. And you have an attitude no different than when you walk into a jack-in-the-box. We're not a jack-in-the-box church. I don't care what you think about jack-in-the-box. I think old Jack's come up with a winner with his Southwest salads. But we're not a jack-in-the-box. And I'm not a round-faced promoter with a carrot for a nose. I came to town looking for uncommon people. And this new staff had better wake up to the fact that I'm paying attention. I've offered my wife on the altar of sacrifice to build a new staff. And I don't want to get emotionally tied to you. You cheapen the honor of working here, and I'm ashamed of most of you cowards out there. Oh, you say, amen. When I say I'm ashamed of Pat Robison, thinking it was a promotion to be president of the United States and cease to be a preacher. I'm ashamed of him. George Bush could be singularly honored and step up to be a preacher. And 10,000 jerks giving themselves the name doesn't take one iota from a God-called, God-gifted apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And a half-blind squirrel can tell the difference between the real and the imitation. I know the price God paid. I feel His love and the disappointments that He had to have. I cried today because I said to my wife going home, you, like many, came from darkness to light. I grew up in the light and went into darkness, challenged God's very existence, and that He would honor me and gift me to unfold this marvelous message of the gospel. I share what Paul said to the Ephesians, that with angels bending down and prophets seeking after, he used the editorial we, but to him was revealed this gospel to the Gentiles. I was reminding myself today of the price God paid for me if I'll trust him. He would have done it just for one. You have no idea the way this pastor grieves. With the calluses that some of you seem to have, and do not see the honor to be even a doorkeeper as a part of this ministry. You ought to buy toilet paper as though the Lord's going to come and use that toilet. I bring it out because it's but a reflection of what I'm picking up as the newer people get comfortable with their job. I'm sure the director had already planned his grand finale today instead of listening to the message I was preaching and flowing with me. Might as well hire a union director. He's got his own sequence of buttons to push. Fade out here and fade in there. The preacher and the message are the same as the colors on the flag and a bulge in the wall. Don't expect me to change. God didn't pay this price to fill heaven with a cheap bunch of religious gypsies, with a cheap bunch of religious yuppies, with a cheap bunch of religious self-serving brats. He made his move. He holds all the chips. He will give his life to those who trust him. And I suggest some of you need to look at your trusting quotient. When you last stretched beyond yourself, like the widow to whom Elijah came, or David, the man after God's own heart, shall I give of something that cost me nothing? If you only give your tithe, it costs you nothing. What are you going to do, drive me to a marathon to get this Secret 16 done? Get off of it and get on board. And I better get rid of this cheap toilet paper.
Yes, sir.
Well, you're not responsible, but I'll bet you when you're done with them, that they'll be responsible. Do we understand each other?
Yes, sir.
You see, Christ died for me. That means my bottom's worth more than this cheap stuff. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I could have given you some spiritual shibboleth. You ought to think very low of yourself and simultaneously so high of yourself that you're straining every faith muscle to say, as Peter said, "Thank you, Lord." God's had it with hypocrites. Has it ever dawned on you? Satan. The Bible says Satan. Lucifer. His pipes and tabrets were created in him from the beginning. He was the crowning cherub on the Mount of God. That means he led the praise. Think about that. This hypocritical mongrel, for how many eons, sang the praises of God while he plotted his self-serving rebellion. Talk about it. He's the father of lies. He's the originator of hypocrisy. I got zero tolerance. And I've never been more Christ-like in having zero tolerance for both those devil traits. Rise to the standard, folks, and get on the telephone. You know, it looks like that if I don't specify and ask, which I don't want to do because this is not for strangers, you don't have to say what Secret 16 is. Don't even want to say the amounts, but the tens, 300 of you, have not moved a single number since I last put some pressure on. And the threes have hardly moved. And the fact that it's 2003 as a nudge on your tabernacle offering. This is stuff we talk about in code to the people that have been taught. But you're going to drive me to have to deal with it openly. Don't want to. All David did was barely whisper. And his mighty men at risk of life went to get that water at Bethlehem. The Macedonian Christians begged with much begging that they might be allowed to participate with Paul. What's the matter with some of you? You're going to let Secret 16 pass you by? You're going to nod your head and sit there while I talk about faith? That's right. Yeah, you believe. Action based upon belief. Sustained by confidence. You've been taught and taught well. God's not going to make the first move on faith. He made the first move in the faith of Jesus. Now, the righteous thing is upon all tous pistuontas. Not those who believe, the ones faithing. You know what faith is. You're not doing it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If it's fact, it's not faith. The pragmatizing of things not seen. Honor and dignity follows this ministry when you respond in faith. Now, the weeks are slipping by. Thanksgiving's approaching for the tabernacle commitments, and Christmas is approaching for Secret 16. I know it's hard for you to believe that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's hard for you to believe that saying no to faith opportunity, I don't ask you to overreach yourself. Secret 16's got different levels. Tabernacle opportunities, different levels. It's hard for you to believe that no sin affects God worse, considering the price he paid, than apistis, not faithing. He wiped out the Israelites and hated them, he says in Hebrews, because they were always apistis, not faithing. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And some of you that know better, you may find it hard to believe that the sin that will grieve the Spirit away from you is one more faith opportunity, clearly within reach, if you stretch a little and trust Him, and you say no. Oh, it's easy if you believe you can fornicate one time too many. You can steal one time too many. You can even lie one time too many. I don't know what the unpardonable sin is. The labor of my ministry is getting across faith is the all-important dimension of the new covenant. And that the all-important sin, all the rest of that stuff, is displaced by the Spirit that comes in when you're faithing. God is helplessly tied, and the sin of falling short, whatsoever is not of faith, is sin. And there are many of you that are living in the delusion, not the illusion, the delusion, that your fixation at a level of easy to perform trust, or what's worse, a level of trust for my benefit only, will bring you to a point the Holy Spirit will leave you. You'll commit that sin one time too many, and you'll believe a lie about yourself and be damned, because God will turn you over, turn you loose. No church has been enriched with the food of faith more than this church. And you better wake up, you old timers, and get your first love back. Now get on the telephone. I've got half the reservations I should have by this hour. Here's another message from Dallas, Fort Worth. There are a lot of people out here who love him. He speaks straight to my heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Don't ever leave. Grand Bay, Texas. I've been watching Dr. Scott ever since he started coming on Channel 27. The teaching is great. Now, Dr. Scott, no, I pray that God will keep him in good health so he can continue to teach. He's a super pastor. That sounds nice. Now, come on, you folks in Los Angeles. You are part of what sends this message out. Get your reservations in. Get on telephone. Now, in this half hour, we're going to go to the table of the Lord. So get the elements, the fruit of the vine and the broken bread, ready at home, that we can partake together like they did in New Testament days when they took the Lord's memorial supper in the home. But we're going to have another song and give you more time to call. Here from Birmingham, Secret 16, my 10,000 Secret 16 pledge is paid. I paid the 2003 for Tabernacle and a second pledge of 3,000. And should have it paid by the end of the month. Doing it in faith, hoping it will prompt someone else to move as they should have done. Thank you as always. Now this is a King's House, 53,745. That's a recent, relatively recent King's House. Some of you King's Houses will remember Hope Street. You didn't see how you could do it. You did it in faith. God honored your faith. And you've not risen to that kind of faith since. Whatsoever not of faith is sin. I hope this inspires somebody. First time caller. We're really enjoying programming. We're learning a lot. And this is from Dallas, I think. They listen to the service that plays in 9 o'clock, 9 to 10 Dallas time, 7 to 8 our time. The only thing is, we have to decide whether to stay at home and listen to Dr. Scott or go to Sunday school. Wherever you get the most of the words, where you should go or be. Fort Worth, Texas. This is the second time I've run across this program. This man's really a gift of God to all intellectuals to be taught the faith walk. I'm on my way to church now, and I'm going to encourage everyone at my church to watch. Dallas, I watch him at night. It's a pleasure to see him in the morning. He's brilliant and he's correct. Please don't take it off the TV. And Dallas, I'm going to be watching at 6:52 a.m. in Dallas. I'm going to be watching on Channel 27. I'm checking in, waiting for some Humpty Dumpty guy to finish, and you come on, and then I'll call back. Go on, telephone! I have prayer requests from Danbury, El Segundo. One came in from a city twice. I don't miss any of your prayer requests. I want you to know that. Now, we're going to go to the table of the Lord after this next song. So get your reservations and your commitments in this next song, because then I'm turning the phones off. Get on telephone now. Going to the table of the Lord now. On this, just moments before the beginning of Yom Kippur, Isaiah 53 anticipated what it's all about. And a question that I have to ask all those that I've been teaching is the question the prophet asked. Speaking for God, you've heard me quote it often, me, in the Hebrew, me, who? Hey, Amin. He amens. Lishmu Atenu. The hearing of us. The message I preached today in the cathedral is what the Day of Atonement's about. God's presence manifested was walled away from his chosen people, Israel. Once a year, he came down to manifest himself as light. Shekinah was the word, but not to be seen by all the camp. He appeared inside the Holy of Holies, inside the tent, inside the fence, inside that tabernacle erected each time they stopped in the midst of the camp. And as they carried this tabernacle, broke it down with specific detail, folded up its parts, covered the ark, carried it a certain way, day in and day out, the priest doing the work in the outer court, the lampstand replenished with oil each time they set it up, the tent erected inside the holy place that the people could not see. All they saw was the covering of badger skins, symbolic of where we start toward God. And they could only see that if they could somehow elevate themselves above the 7-foot fence, What they saw was a white linen fence portraying God's holiness on the inside and their sin on the outside. Running from the top of the fence to the ground were brass chains attached to brass pegs in the ground, erected every time they stopped, to remind them that outside, the symbol of judgment was what they faced. Through one door, the colors of which portrayed the emphasis of the four Gospels, the one door which is Christ. Once a year, they carried it, erected it, took it down. How many stops they made, how many times they had to tear it down carefully and put it back up. Believe you me, those priests were capable of being tempted with the routineness and the material elements they were dealing with and forget the necessity of this tabernacle. Because once a year they could get relief from their sins for the past year. As on the great day of atonement, the high priest would offer the sacrifice in the outer court, typical of where Jesus died, in the eyes of men, and would carry the blood of the slain sacrifice. That place was called the place where propitiation was made. I'll be on that next Sunday. For those that are watching this live, when I go to the 25th verse of Romans, and on this day of atonement, I remind you, in the outer court, in the eyes of men at Calvary, propitiation was made. Adequate payment. Adequate payment to cover the cost. But he had to carry the blood in which the life is contained through the curtains into the holy place, and once a year part that curtain that divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies, inside of which was the Ark of the Covenant, made of acacia wood, like a root out of a dry ground, and gold, the two natures of Christ, the divine and the human. Inside of which, forgetting the dimensions, which also spoke of his nature, inside of which was Aaron's rod that budded as a type of the resurrection. The pot of the manna that would not spoil, which was a type of the living man of the Word of God that came down from God out of heaven. And the unbroken tablets of stone, because in man's hands, Moses broke the first ones. The only time they were not broken, in Christ, symbolized in that ark. Now on the top, the kapharoth, the covering. And as the high priest came in carrying the blood, he had to sprinkle it seven times on the ground where his feet would stand. Seven times on the Ark of the Covenant. And that gold kapharoth, mercy seat, was between, and the sprinkled blood of the ransom, the propitiation, was sprinkled on that mercy seat, which was between the unbroken standard of that old covenant and the priest who represented all the people. And when he sprinkled the blood, unlike the outer court where the offering was the propitiation, the technical word, this Ark of the Covenant, this mercy seat, this covering, was the propitiatory, the place where the one who determined the adequacy of the sacrifice would pass judgment on whether or not the sacrifice was sufficient to justify forgiving the sins of the year past. That's what the Day of Atonement was about. And the high priest, all of his garments were typical of that which was to happen when Jesus became the sacrifice, the priest, the offering, and the offerer. Around the hem of the priest's robes were bells. He wore those bells for only one purpose, one time a year, when he took the blood in and sprinkled it. If he's still alive, you could hear the bells moving. If the blood of the sacrifice was from a defective sacrifice, not up to the standard, inadequate, he was struck dead on that Day of Atonement, and the bell stopped ringing. If the sacrifice was adequate, God came down in the form of the Shekinah and settled on the Kapruth or mercy seat between the two golden cherubims with their wings folded, and communed with the priest. And as the priest came out alive and the bells ringing under the hem of his garment, the people could shout with joy. Their sins of the past year had been forgiven, because at the propitiatory, the fact the priest was still alive was testimony. The sacrifice was adequate. It's a strange phrase in the New Testament. One of the first appearances of Jesus, he said, "Don't touch me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father." It's a phrase in the Ephesian letter, how the prince of the power of the air and the elements, he had to fight his way through it. He died in the outer court. He had to present himself to the Father, where, with an audience of eternity, God's judgment was, the sacrifice was adequate. And he came back to reappear as the priest coming out of the Holy of Holies. That's what we commemorate on the Day of Atonement. Not a sacrifice accepted by God as adequate for a year, but as the Ephesian letter says, or rather the Hebrews letter says in the first chapter, he sat down now at the right hand of the Father, his appearance over. Sacrifice accepted. Mi heyamin lishmuatenu. Who he amens the hearing of us. That's what his ransom obtained. And not just sins. Before it happened, Jesus anticipating said, as he took bread and a cup, and I reverse the order, taking the cup, he says, "This do in remembrance of me till I come again. This is the cup of my blood which is shed for you." The Lord laid on him, Isaiah 53 says, the iniquity of us all. He ransomed, bought our lives back. And as we come to this table tonight and take this cup, I hope you can say, "Amen. So be it unto me." He paid the price. Guilt removed. I'm not worthy. I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Why are the two elements at this table? If only sin is involved, all you need is the cup. We already talked about it earlier, the festival that accompanies this communion. Life resided in the blood. He paid the penalty for our sins. He bought us back. He did something else. The kinsman redeemer restores a lost estate. God never made Adam and Eve to be sick. Their natural death began when they were separated from the source of life. And this world will have tribulations just as he did, from the world, the flesh, and the devil. but we're covered. Our sins are covered. God can enter us freely with his new life as we trust him. But he also bought something else back. You read, fifth verse. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. That's what the cup meant. The chastisement, musar is the word, requitement. A punishment required to get something back that was lost. A letting of the punishment run its course. For sin, the punishment ran its course with his death. Sickness also, which accompanies the death and the dying, had to run its course. And as the consequence of sin ran its course in his death, likewise, he suffered to get back for us the musar, the chastisement of our peace, shalom. Go to any lexicon. Shalom is well-being, which includes health. And with his stripes, we are healed. Peter said it right when he looked back centuries later and put it in the past tense. With his stripes, we were healed. On this, my third birthday, since a declaration of death from cancer, again I lift gratefully to God this cup that makes me worthy to lift this bread and say what brought me back to health without surgery or radiation. With his stripes, I was healed. And with his stripes, I will keep on being healed. Claim that promise and take it with me in Jesus' name.